CBS since 1936.
Say hello to my little friend!
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by 10 Tavern. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC, and by Blast & Brew.
Swung on, lift the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back, and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone from 10 Tavern. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You
are in the zone.
And we are here. We had a little phone issue, but we took care of it. We are back. We took our commercials early, live from 10 Tavern. Kelly's been taking care of us. Amy Bo Peep is running errands, what I hear. And if Amy Bo Peep, you're listening, we got the place surrounded. You're covered. We're good to go until you get here. Does that sound all right?
I think it sounds great. I think the bar's starting to rock. Got a little shrimp cocktail up there. I'm going to tell you about this Italian sub I had today here.
I want to hear about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything with Italian, I want to hear about it.
Well, you know what I'm saying about that, right? It's...
Giddy up.
Ah, that's right. You kind of hesitated. You can't text.
Well, because you got me texting. You got me all this stuff.
That's Pagmeter Nation people that are fans of Pagmeter. He can usually do one thing at a time. So when you're talking to him, and he's texting at the same time because he's got all these people hitting him up for topics that they want to talk about today. But he can only do one thing at a time.
Well, I know you can only do one thing at a time. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me? Okay, you're right. Well, anyway, getting back to the food part.
Yeah. Tell me about the Italian sub, because it was about 4 inches thick.
It was 4 inches thick, but it didn't seem like it was four. The bread was nice and moist. It was a little bit warm, toasted. It was perfect. So if you're a sandwich kind of guy, you can get it with fries on the side. You can get a little salad to go with it, or I'm sure something else back there. But I've tried multiple dishes on this great menu they have here. I've never been to an establishment, and I'm 10 Tavern. If you have not been to 10 Tavern.
Where's it at?
Willow and Neese, yep. Under the clock tower, the big clock
tower. Can't miss it.
That would be the northeast corner, as close as you could get to the northeast.
You can literally see this clock all the way probably from Madera.
Yeah.
It's so big.
I've had that meal there, and you've had the pasta, which you seem to stick with.
Well, Amy Bo Peep brings me the Pagmeter pasta, and I love it with the sirloin. But I will try something new next time, just for you.
Yeah, well, I think you need to, because if you're going to talk about certain things, you've got to be able to understand what they are. But I will tell you, I've been to a lot of establishments in the past, and nothing holds a candle to this menu. And another great thing, they have a great Sunday brunch here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're able to.
Oh, it's outstanding. It's in the table, and they call it the table right next door if you have a party. And I'm telling you right now, Willow and Niece, if you're going to have a birthday, a Christmas, any kind of party, you better book it now, because Amy Bo Peep says it's packing, and quickly packing up.
Yeah, I was talking to her about Christmas parties, and I can't believe I just said that word. Christmas, it's right around the corner. But those of you that have holiday parties, man, it's sure booking up fast, because I inquired about that, because I thought it'd be a great place to have one, and it's so big and has that great menu, and then you can, they'll cater it for you, and you can have all sorts of things. She's even talking about maybe doing some games in there. You know, you can watch a big screen TV or something and have a group in there and maybe do that. That's down the road a little bit, but giving her some ideas and her listening to the patrons here, I think she's going to continue to grow. This place is great. Great outside patio with a television as well. So great place for fall football, Nick, because when the weather kind of cools down a little bit, which we're waiting for, you can spend some time on this outdoor patio out here.
This is an idea. I'm throwing it out there to Nick, and if Amy Bo Peep here at 10 Tavern is listening, and I'm just, this is the gift that we bring, because I haven't even shared it with you.
Gift.
How about this idea? We got 8,500 soccer games on a Saturday around here, right? Soccer's big
close,
in the morning.
Close.
You film your soccer. After it, you come to the table, you rent the table out, and you put your game video up on the screen, and you can have the soccer, and you can watch the kids, and you can eat at the same time. That's just what I do. What a great gift. What an idea.
Well, if you're going to hit home with everybody, as far as percentage-wise, soccer is going to be the sport you're
That's what
hit
I'm talking about. Or even a Pop Warner football game. Film the game. You bring the team. I don't even know you're going to have more than 40 people, though.
Just don't tell
mom and dads and kids and everything. Well, just it's happening. Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. Tiffany is waiting. She's almost like it's like a telethon. She waits by that phone for people to call to direct your number. And if you're a farmer out there and maybe you're not happy with whoever you are, or maybe you want to switch to the varsity of Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, call Tiffany at 559-261-9030. And she will direct you to whatever world you live in, and some professional will be out there to take care of you. And I'm telling you right now, they want to put money in your pocket. That's the name of the game in farming.
That's their derogative. I mean, they're looking to spend time with you, put fertility programs together. I've watched these guys and what they do and getting out and grabbing soil samples, Nick, tissue samples, doing the full precision ag approach to agriculture today, which is important. The information out there is beyond, I guess is what I'll say. You know, if you get used to doing the same thing over and over again every year, you're missing the boat. So take advantage. In some cases, you're going to cut back on your fertility and just because you're going to be putting on the right things instead of maybe things that you just assume you need to put on because you've done it the same way over and over again. Nothing wrong with that, but just take a look at some of the technology that is out there. You might be amazed.
Yeah, one of these days, Tiffany's got to come into 10 Tavern.
For
sure.
Meet her. Well, I get all of everybody come over here.
Yeah.
It'd be great. How about the holiday time when we're still here?
Yes.
We'll probably have a little get-together,
well,
I'm sure.
Well, let's throw a little NFL. We're going to talk Holy Bowl a little. We're going to have Savannah Tucker in today from Clovis North Broncos. She just verbal committed to Long Beach. What a great deal that is. Savannah Tucker right now, she's the leader in the clubhouse for Pag Meter Player of the Year from Clovis North. She is a star. You've seen her play for how many years now?
Well, it's been a long time. I mean, she's played 4 years right there, and this is her fourth, and she's done well. Her family's done well. Her sister's done well. It's been a good
run,
I think, and it's a good run for the Valley, not just in Savannah's situation, but I believe that, you know, you always talk about basketball in the Valley, and, you know, I think basketball in the Valley, there was a point, Nick, where there wasn't a great deal of Division I scholarships that were being, you know, offered in the Valley, and we didn't see as many kids go on to the next level, and it doesn't matter if it's Division I, II, NAIA, or III, or
whatever. College.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, and if you're being able to work hard, and so many of these kids work so hard, not just during the season, but during the summer when they go through AAU, and there's AAU's got its ups and downs. We've been down that path before, but I think it's helped out immensely with scholarship opportunities, Nick.
I want to throw my little NFL talk before we talk about Savannah and all the local sport. Antonio Brown, the semi-Raider, now Patriot, what a week he's had. You're a Raider fan. What was your feel when you felt like Antonio was going to be our guy? We can't wait. And you saw him on that Hard Knocks, and what a complete farce that was, how they babied him the whole time. But I'll tell you right now, when he goes to the Patriots, Bill Parcell doesn't put up with that. You either become a Patriot or you're out.
Belichick,
I'm sorry.
But you're close.
Yeah.
You're a few years ahead of yourself.
The Patriots roll. The Raiders, though, we're happy to have you here. You play when you want. We don't have to push you. You're our guy. You could tell that there was no discipline whatsoever in the Raiders. What are you? You're a Raider guy. Tell me.
Well, he never really played for the Raiders.
Well, I'm just saying he.
And I think the Raiders actually do have discipline because they didn't put up with him, and he's gone, and they just got rid of him. And what's interesting, I think the main thing you're trying to get out is they got rid of him, and then just as soon as after he left is when this whole scandal thing comes out.
What scandal are we talking about? Because I want to hear about this.
Yeah, kind of a relationship with a trainer of his that goes back some years, and.
Oh, that scandal.
That scandal. So what do you think about that scandal? I mean, I don't know if you spent much time with it or understand it yourself, because I know you're not much of a Raiders fan, but it happened. So that's kind of put him into a situation where he's wondering, what do I do next? What happens to him next?
Well, that's what you're talking about, the scandal this week with the trainer. I think athletes and stars have to watch out anymore, because I don't know if it's true or not, but if there's a chance that these people can settle out of court without going to trial, they're going to settle out of court. And if you're innocent, you better call them on their bluff. because I'm not going to the police, but I want $200,000. I'll be quiet. It's a scam going, I think.
Have you read the allegations?
No, I have not.
Well, I'm not going to repeat it on the air, but I would urge you to go online and look and find out exactly what she's accusing him of actually doing.
Then why didn't she go to the police?
Well, I mean, don't you think she did? He's being accused of something.
Well, he didn't. There's no police report.
Well, they're doing the investigation.
Okay.
You can't just go in there and grab somebody because of hearsay.
And how long ago did this happen?
Well, I think it's been ongoing now for several years.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, it just all comes to a head. And so, obviously, you know, there's something like that, what's going on behind the scenes. I believe he was married. I don't know.
I'm not an Antonio guy, but why wouldn't she wait until they signed the big deal?
Well, that's the funny part. That's the part that people are kind of scratching their head on. What's going on, and why all of a sudden? Why is the timing so? It's just very weird timing. And then New England claims they knew nothing about it. Well, of course they didn't, because it hadn't come out yet. That at least to the public,
right.
Anyway, right?
Yeah.
But maybe the Raiders knew about something. Maybe they knew about this. They found out about it a little bit, because the way he left the Raiders could have done some things differently, right? In getting rid of him.
There's a lot of things that are scratching my head on. The other one is Lynn Swann, the athletic director at USC. Why would he just resign right in game two? Do you think it has something to do with some of these people giving money back to the, you know, to get on the rowing team and things like that? Something's going on over there.
I don't know if Lynn Swann would need that, though. You think so? These people are giving out, you know, $500,000 checks to USC to the football program.
But I don't know. Why would he resign like this?
Well, so what you're thinking is probably, you know, you're real, right? So it's scratching your head and saying, well, if I don't think this way, something's wrong with me for not understanding it. But, yeah, there's something going on there, especially two games into the football season and you leave.
Felicity Huffman got 14 days. Which I don't think she should get anything. This thing's been going on for a million years.
14 days where?
In federal vacation pen.
Nowhere. Probably your living room with some kind of a device.
Oh, no. The judge says, I got to make you do something. We got to set an example. 14 days.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything. That's like a slap in the hand. And you think it would stop if you did? If you're able to get your kid in the USC and do the things you wanted to do, and they said 14 days is what you're going to get. And
wasn't it USC's fault, too, though?
What?
Well, yeah. Accepting the money?
What's the judge going to say to USC?
I don't know.
That's an NC2A thing. Right? That's a violation. So
but it happens all
if
over.
If you want to make a point, you strip them of bowl status or anything like that.
And you're going to strip every school in the United States out of it, because I guarantee if Nick Anderson's a multimillionaire and you want to get your kid who maybe Barry Anderson, your fourth son, who's just, he's okay kid, but he's just, I need to boost him up. Here's a check for $1 million. Can you make the locker room better. You don't think anyone's going to take that $1 million and get this kid in, whatever you got to do, get him on campus. It happens all the time.
Well, it happens to schools like that. I think most schools are probably, USC is going to do that, those type of things, and I'm not going to say they entertain it. I'm just saying you're going to hear about those things happening to schools like that more often than you are about, I don't know, throw something out.
Like San Jose State or something?
Maybe.
Yeah, we don't know. Because if you're an AD or the president of the school and someone comes in with a big check, you're going to be thinking, you know.
It's funny what money will do to people.
Yeah.
No matter if 30 seconds ago they say, hey, I don't want to do this or I'm not going to do that, and they get caught up, somebody writes them a check. It's a different game. It'll do crazy things to somebody.
So what happens to Antonio Brown? You think he stays all year with the Patriots, or he can't make the cut and Bill goes, you're not a Patriot. But if he's healthy,
he's playing.
That's the greatest move I've ever seen for the Patriots.
I think. Unless there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not sure about, and maybe there could be, that involves this case, and I'm sure the Patriots are looking at this thing pretty hard. But if he gets through that, or maybe it's a small little slap on the hand, which I hope he's really didn't do the things that he's being accused of, because those are some horrible things, and anybody doing that type of thing should be somehow or another penalized or punished for sure. If that means the season, great. If that means his NFL career, that's another thing too. But you can't be going around doing those type of things. With that said, if he does make it through that, he will show up, Nick, and he will have a huge season, because I think right now he's got something to prove.
I would bet the Steelers have been laughing this whole time. Finally, we got this guy
they're,
off.
They're
our...
laughing unless he shows up on the field, which he's eligible to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
He is eligible to play. It'll be interesting to see how he performs. But Tom Brady said it best, you know, in a press conference a few days ago. He said, hey, you know, we've spent all this time in the world trying to get to know each other. It's a close-knit. You know this as a former quarterback. You got to have that relationship with those receivers. And you got to, besides the plays, you got to get to know each other and really be on the same page. And him not really having that extra time during camp and maybe even after last year, getting together and working out together, those type of things, you know, that's going to be a question too. He's got such a great relationship with the receivers that have been in New England. That's why New England's been so successful.
Yep.
You've got Gronkowski, Edelman's another
example.
Well,
he's out right now. I don't know if Gronk is retired, but he did come out with a great tweet today. I don't know, Gianna sent it to him. He says, hey, I've had multiple concussions. And he goes, but the brain... And I'll have to keep going. I'm going to fight it, but it's a really great deal.
So he's saying that he might come back now?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a comeback. A lot of these guys don't want to go to training camp.
So he's going to be like a Witten, Dallas.
This is what he said.
Jason Witten, right?
From Gronk. He goes, talk about the brain now. It is flexible. I fix mine. There are plenty of methods in this world that allow the brain to recover from a severe damage. This is also why I would allow my kids to play football.
So what's that to do with him playing again?
I think he's trying to say he might be coming back.
He's not coming back.
Well, I bet if they go 4-0, he might, you know, be part of the action.
I think he's wanted to hang out and not do anything at all. They think training camp's a waste of time.
Here's my big question. Yeah, I think a lot of them, look at the Cowboys, they don't want to go to training camp.
Well, how much
camp.
Do they really play? The starters, if you've already proven yourself, what is that training camp
worth? Exactly, but you see week one, how bad it was?
It's relationship building, though. Going back to what I said before, you got to have those relationships. You got to have that chemistry, and if you're not there to be a part of that, then the chemistry part, your expectations can't be that high.
No question. But I thought week one, because a lot of these stars were out, that the first week of NFL were horrible. So it just was off. It looked like there was a lot of false starts and this and that. They're just not in game shape yet.
Unless
but
the Raiders
look good.
Well, of course they did.
Derek Carr had one of his best games I've seen in a long time.
Threw the ball. Imagine if Antonio Brown wouldn't have freaked out. What would the Raiders have looked like last weekend? Hard to say.
They look smart, and they got some studs on their team running the football. I'm impressed with the Raiders, or Denver's just horrible.
Derek Carr looks like he's got some more time out there, too, which is going to be something big, you know, invested in that offensive line and protect him as much as they can, trying to keep him from going through the same thing that David went through. But yeah, Derek's been there a long time now, so it's going to be fun to watch them. I'm looking forward to it. It's the last season up in Oakland, as everybody knows, and the new stadium is getting close. It's got that home on. It's going to be off the hook over in Vegas.
Are you going to be season ticket holders over there or no?
Who, me? I don't need to be season tickets holder. You know, you go to the game you want to go to, right?
There you go. You can get tickets anytime you want.
Yeah. But I'm sure all the casinos will be buying out those tickets, Nick, offering tickets and packages and stuff.
But I'm hearing the ticket sales are slow.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that far yet, but that's probably the next step. We should probably do a show just on the ticket sales.
There's a lot to do in Las Vegas.
It's going to be full of people from the Central Valley. I've always said that if you go to a Raider game and you walk to the parking lot and start talking to the tailgaters, most of them are from, you know, the Valley, from like, let's say, Stockton South. I mean, I've met so many people going to those games. It's those games are off the hook in terms of fan. I mean, they it's not easy being a fan of the opponent and walking around the Coliseum. You get chastised in some cases, maybe get some beer thrown at you, but that's just football to me. But they take tailgating pretty seriously, and they have a good time with it. If you haven't been to a Raider game, even if you aren't a fan, I mean, you've got to at least experience it. It's not as bad as people say it is there. I really think that, I mean, I've been in those games before and sat next to people, and they just, you know, they're wearing their uniforms, and they're all there for the same reason you're in there. They just enjoy some good football. They pack that place. They're loud. You can either go to a game with nobody there or just somebody just barely rooting. Doesn't matter if the Raiders are losing or winning, Nick. Those fan base is always going to be present and loud.
No question. In fact, you know, have you been? You've been to tomorrow night. We're going to be Matt Johnson and I are going to be broadcasting the Holy Bowl, Garces Rams versus the Memorial Panthers, in one of the great rivalries. And we're going to talk right now, Mr. Memorial Panther, J.D. Sales is on the line. J.D., how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing? How you guys doing?
Well, Well, first of all, JD, tell me a real 30 seconds. We had a sad funeral today with Sam Flores passing away. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, Sam was just a great guy. I've talked to a few guys about him. It's just one of those guys you got nothing bad to say about him. You know, I played for him when I was at Clovis West. He was involved with Coach Thiessen back when he was early on in his coaching career. And then I had a relationship with him about last time I saw him was at the North-South tryouts. He was always on the road recruiting and trying to get ahead of the game. He's just one of those good baseball guys and a good person. You know, he's going to be missed. He had a big impact on this valley, and you saw that today with the attendance and at the funeral today. So.
Well, J.D. Sales, we're talking and hate to switch over, but, you know, that's how radio is. We got a big game tomorrow night, the Holy Bowl. Garces and Memorial, tell me how it is, because it's an all-day affair. When does it start to lead up to the 7:30 football kickoff?
Well, you got there's golf going on at noon, girls golf. There's usually water polo, but Garces, for some reason, backed out last minute. I think they got in a tournament and it was a schedule conflict, so we don't have water polo. There's volleyball starting at 11:30, I believe, freshman JV varsity. Tennis plays at Fresno City at 1, and then there's mass at 4 for the football team, and there's games at 5 and 7:30. So it's a long day. It's a big event. Our school has been nice enough to give us Monday off because there's so many people working tomorrow. So, but yeah, it's a big event, big weekend.
Yeah, and it looks like Garces getting their quarterback back, Joseph Campbell, which is they really need him because they haven't scored a point yet this year. They really need their big guy in there.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I've heard he can play a little bit. It's always a competitive game regardless. It's two teams that respect each other, but they obviously want to beat each other pretty bad given the fact that we're both one of the two Catholic high schools from here to Bakersfield, the only two. So it's a competitive game.
Talking with J.D. Sales from San Joaquin Memorial. And when's officially, you know, Nick Anderson's my basketball guy. When does official basketball season start?
It's coming up here short. I think they start practice officially in the end of October sometime. I mean, honestly, you can't quote me on that, but I think it's middle to end of October. I'm pretty sure middle of October is when that officially starts. But I know a lot of these basketball guys are year-round, so.
Yeah, every sport's year-round anymore, J.D. Come on, baseball included.
Well, that's what I want to ask, J.D.
I know football. Memorial.
J.D., we're talking with J.D. Sales, but I know football has a dead period at the end of July. Baseball has that dead period. Is there a dead period for basketball? Because I think they play Christmas Day.
There's a dead period. It's sometime. I believe it might have been right when school starts. It's so difficult because you can declare yourself a club and do it that way, and then you're not associated with the school. So there's a fine line, but I know that at Memorial, the basketball guys definitely have some time off, but I've found that's the sport that has the most guys that exclusively do basketball because it's in the middle of the fall and the spring, so they feel obligated to kind of just do their sport, I guess. I don't know, but at Memorial, we only have 510 students, so we have to share athletes.
Yeah, sharing the athletes probably more so on the baseball side, right, than football? Basketball player would more gravitate towards baseball?
I have some basketball, baseball guys, and I have some soccer. I have a couple good soccer baseball guys. So it just depends. And our school is one of those, like I said, where we're down on numbers. We don't have 2,200 kids like Clovis West. We got 515 of them, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah, but you got 515 Herschel Walkers. That's a little different.
No, that's what everybody thinks, but we only have last weekend we only had 24 guys on our football roster, so I'd say what our coaching staff does is pretty impressive.
Talking with J.D. Sales, who tell everyone you're not only the baseball coach, you're now the athletic director, assistant athletic director, what do we call it?
Me and Stacy Abney are co-athletic directors. She has 9 of the sports. I have 9 of the sports. It's basically split up. She's got the inside sports. I have mostly the outside sports. It's kind of how we did it. It kind of just ended up that way, not on not on purpose. We just sat down and split up and tried to figure out what would be a good fit, and that's how it turned out. So it's 9-9. She's busy, I'm busy, but it helps each other out a little bit.
Well, we're excited tomorrow. Game time is at 7:30. Garces Rams, Paul Gola, and the Rams are coming in, taking on now the Red Hot Panthers, winning two straight. This is always electric. Both teams are, Joseph Campbell's playing at Garces. This is going to be a really good game now. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, this is, like I said, there's always it's a rich tradition. They've played each other since both schools were in existence. So it's going to be a big game. I know that they're 2-1. I think they're 0-2. I mean, we always expect to be, our football program to be at the top. And so do they, especially with the new coach they got. They're obviously putting a lot of money in football. So we expect it to be a competitive game, and I know our guys will be ready, and I know theirs will be too, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting down there, J.D. If you look for me at the gate and let me in, because I don't know if they'll let me in down there. So
wouldn't let you in.
I'll try it. If you're with the pag meter, they'll let you in. He just walks right by. He doesn't even care.
Oh, boy. I love that.
By the way, they have the best snack bar ever. You got the tri-tip going. You got everything out
there. Well, they're able to do that. I love that. I'm glad that I wish more schools were able to do more of that. That just kind of goes back to what we were saying last week about some of these schools. You talk, J.D., you talk about the enrollment and, you know, the hype and things about trying to play in some of these large places. And it's just kind of, well, you know that. You went to Clovis West, right? So you remember those days.
Yeah.
But it just take these games, these rivalries that we were talking about last week a little bit, and the rivalry that your guys are playing in tomorrow. I mean, that's tradition. It's going to be packed. You're going to have that tri-tip going in the end zone or over by the concessions. And you know, that's what people remember, and you try to do the same thing every year, so it kind of brings back those memories for people. I think that's some of the best football, especially in some of the more rural areas, even beyond, you know, out towards the west or even on the east side, Wood Lake, that area in there. There's so many schools that have so much tradition, and it's nice to be able to say that we continue to be able to provide that type of atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're not going to – we're not. It's Friday night football is exciting no matter where it is. But like you said, I mean, a game like this where there's so much longstanding tradition, or you go out to a Selma versus Kingsburg or anything like that. I mean, it's high school football is high school football, and it's exciting, and it's good for the kids to play in front of a big crowd and understand what's at stake and the tradition. And I mean, Coach Ghostin and his staff, is a lot of his staff members have actually played in this game when they went to Memorial. So I mean, it's, you know, stuff like that, is it goes a long way, and it creates a sense of importance.
Well, J.D., give a hug for my two buddies over there, Coach Rosnowski and Corey Fisher over there. I like the basketball.
Hey,
I got to start working basketball,
Coach,
J.D.
Coach Rosnowski is the voice of the Panthers tomorrow night. So.
Oh, then he'll perfect.
You might want to get Pegs to come on, do the color or something. Just kind of give Rosnowski a little help.
He's
there.
Really good. He's a professional. I can't hang with that. We're going to be in the press box.
We're a Catholic school, so Pag meter would have to be
okay,
there.
Did that hurt?
Hey, he's Italian, J.D. He'll be fine.
Forget about it, huh? All right, J.D., I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
I got some news for you guys, so you can quit giving us a hard time. The San Joaquin Memorial baseball team is officially going Division I for 2020. So I just thought you'd want to know.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk about
that. J.D., you're my idol. I like that. And then you're going to have the other boys and your coaches over there do the same thing soon? So I won't have to give them that time?
I believe Coach Roz is, too, in basketball.
So. There you go.
There you go. Then hey. You know what? And then bring in Shaquille O'Neal. I don't care. Love that. Bring it,
J.D. Right. You and Ross, if Ross follows suit and he follows you on the Division One, you and him are my most favorite guys at San Joaquin Memorial.
Hey, can you get Ross? I want Ross on next week. I want him on the radio next week. So make that happen.
Hey,
I'll make it happen. You tell me the day and time. I'll get him on.
Friday at 5, prime time.
Wait a minute. J.D., Roz is supposed to buy me lunch, too. You remind him of that. He's been stepping away from that for a while. Remind him.
I'll let him know.
All right, J.D., I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm excited. Garces at Memorial. Right, and it all starts an all-day deal. But when time does the JV game start?
5 o'clock. It's 5 and
7:30. 5 and 7:30, so get out there early. Plenty of football. Saturday night football. There's no Fresno State in. It's the only game in town. We'll see you tomorrow night, J.D. Thanks. J.D. Sales. Here's my
You know what? I'm going to tell you this about J.D.
I love JD.
He doesn't hold back.
And he's going to do – he is going to be a great one. And San Joaquin Memorial is very lucky, even though he'll say he's lucky to be there as well. It's a, I think it's the chemistry there is perfect. It's a great place for him. He's going to do well. He's already doing well. The chatter's good. He's building culture, Nick. It's all about culture. And it's fun. Every time we have him on or chat with him, he's so level-headed and he gets it. And it's been – it's going to be nice to watch what he does because he's moving forward.
And I'll just let a little secret because baseball is coming up. My top three teams in no order.
You're talking baseball. Wait a minute.
Well,
you're just
kidding. Just let you, because we're talking baseball right now.
We're three games into football season. Basketball season hasn't started yet, and you're talking baseball.
Well, I'm just giving you Memorial will be in the top three before this year starts.
All right.
Let me just tell you, along with maybe there's another team he used to play for. So they're going to battle for the top spot. But baseball is going to be fun because there's no dominant teams like Clovis West was basketball last year.
Are you saying Clovis West?
Did I say that?
You said a team he used to play for.
Then maybe that could be one of them.
I kind of thought through that. Oh, that's
I want to ask Matt. I want to ask Nick.
That's okay. Matt's my brother.
I want to ask you, because we're talking rivals, who's Clovis West's big rivalry when it comes to basketball? Because everyone hates you, but name one. Is it Central? Is it Buchanan? Clovis North probably now.
Clovis West has been pretty consistent in basketball. You talking about girls or boys?
Doesn't matter.
I think Clovis North has probably become that just because of the proximity of the schools. And as of late, those two have kind of went head-to-head pretty hard. I think in the old days, you kind of look at, obviously, Clovis West just because those are the two schools. Clovis was there. Clovis West was kind of the newcomer. And you always hate newcomers. But Clovis West is an interesting place. Clovis North is interesting. They're both still fueling away in terms of success on a lot of different sports. Aquatics, for example, you take a look at those two schools, they continue to go back and forth. Buchanan obviously plays a big one, but I'd say there's more hype on North than any.
So who's the rivalry for, like, Fresno State football? Who would be the big rival?
Boise State.
Then how in the world are they not playing this year in a football game?
That's your friends. That's a money game, right?
Mountain West to me is a joke. How are they not playing in a game every year? It's like, well, you know, we decided we're not going to have UCLA play SC, or you know,
that's
Alabama,
like Stanford, Cal.
Yeah, we're gonna wait till next year.
Yeah, I don't know who makes those decisions. I always call those guys the smart guys, right? Because there must be a reason behind it because they're smarter than we are, supposedly.
Mountain West has very little marketing anyway, and you're not going to have the two top teams play each other?
I'd love somebody to call in.
844.
A marketing person at Fresno State. 940. Maybe they can help us with that. They obviously don't make those decisions.
844-940 ESPN is our number if you want to get in here, Fresno State fan. I want to know, because a lot of people are jumping off the bandwagon. Listen. We're not going to win the national championship, even if we went 12-0. We're not going to do it. It's not made for teams like that. It's a corrupt system. And I would rather have teams like Minnesota come in.
It should be a no-brainer, right?
It's a no-brainer. Yeah. It's the most corrupt program ever. But let's bring in the top teams. I think people enjoyed watching Minnesota. We lost. We're going to grow. We could still win the Mountain West.
Pat Hill style football.
Yes.
And people say what you want to say. I think Pat was ahead of it. I mean, he'd go anywhere. But I don't know why, in terms of how Fresno State is today, they're up there. I mean, they're Mountain West champions. You come to us. We'll come to you, but you're going to come over here. We're not going to go away. We're not going to be like a Sac State and go around and play all these teams. We're Fresno State. You're going to come play us. The question I have is, you know, Fresno State played USC really well. Yeah, it's a loss, but they could easily have been 2-0. But you think about it, that's so close to saying, I hate saying they could have, but they played those two games very well. And if you look at what SC did to Stanford last weekend, which at the time I believe Stanford was ranked by some, you know, like 24. Let's just call it. I don't know why they even go to 24, but let's say they were ranked. So they kind of blew them out. SC blew Stanford out. So what does that say for Fresno State? I mean, that would be amazing if they would have beat SC and SC would have killed Stanford as a ranked team the next weekend.
It's going to really be nice if USC continues it and Fresno State gets on a roll. It'll really help us in the long run. I would love to see, because we went to elementary school together, kindergarten, Mike Williams, the former Cal Berkeley athletic director. And we talked all the time, and I did everything I could. We need to get a home and away with Cal Bears, and just because look at the travel. Cal Bears, Fresno State, home and away every year. packed house because I think that's a rivalry. Matt has always been right about this. If we play Pac-12 teams, Fresno State crowd goes nuts for them. I don't think they get excited about the WAC. I mean, the Mountain West. I'm sorry.
Who?
The Fresno State fans, but they care about USC, UCLA, sure. Cal.
It's just the hype that comes around those teams. But see, what Pac-12 team that you know about hasn't played Fresno, doesn't want to play Fresno?
Cal?
Cal's played Fresno.
No, but that should be a home and away.
But think about what.
Just saying how many people would show up to Cal.
What other team out there that you know about hasn't come down or we haven't gone there?
Well, USC and UCLA will never come here.
Stanford
will never come here.
Stanford doesn't want to play Fresno State, and there's not because it's one thing. They don't want to lose to Fresno State.
But they'll go play UC Davis or something.
It's yeah, and
makes no sense.
Yeah, they have lots of it's a connection, right? The Davis, Bay Area.
Forget about Stanford. We need to play Cal every year. We need to play UCLA, okay. Home and away. Be nice.
So you got years in between that, right? So right now you play one of those guys, and you go, okay, we're going to play so-and-so 2025. 2025. So that's you're scheduling out because that's these yeah. years are booked, right, yeah. ahead of you. That's how far behind we are getting some of these games scheduled. It's not easy to schedule these guys.
No, but let's start working it.
Well, they are. I'm sure. I'm positive that the new marketing team at Fresno State is on top of things. I like the new athletic director. I think the marketing side, from what I've seen so far, it's the hype out there. And I was worried. I told you that if they had lost the two first games, what would happen? But talking to so many customers of ours, and a lot of them are growers, farmers that support Fresno State, a lot of them are jazzed up. They're ready to go. I don't care who we're playing next time. I think you're going to get a pretty good crowd. Well, the tailgating was huge. There was people. I mean, that's kind of
fun.
It's not quite where we want it, but I'd say that it's starting to kind of bring back memories of years ago, Nick.
Yeah, and I think now Sacramento State will come in. Now we're the middlemen because before we played USC, we were the little guys on the block, right? USC was the big monster. Now we're the big monster, and Sacramento State looks at us like we're USC. This is a Super Bowl for them. They've been focusing for 3 months on Fresno State, so this is why they're going to bring a lot of people from Sacramento. They're pretty good this year.
Yeah, they're always – I want the team I think in that conference right there is Davis.
They're coming.
UC Davis.
They're
is,
building a program.
Yeah, they want to – and Matt said this earlier today, which I'll tell you I – I don't know if you knew it or not. I don't know if you've been to UC Davis in a while, but UC Davis has a decent little stadium up there.
They're building it up.
They're trying to get going so they can. I don't know if they want to stick in that. That's big.
They're
sky.
Playing USC next year.
They're trying to build that thing up, and there you go. If you want to take a look at their facilities in terms of basketball, football, and the baseball, I mean everything's pretty.
They're growing.
They're very, very much so. And so that was pretty much a research institution that had a little bit of impact. Division II football transferred over to 1AA. I think they want to get to that one level. And they're shooting to try to become a Mountain West school. I think that'd be a target for them.
I think they're coming to Mountain West, no doubt about it. I think it's the Mountain West is getting better and better. Last year, not so much, but I think with all the Sean Chambers in Wyoming, you got Jordan Love, quarterback in Utah State. We're coming. So let's take a break, Nick. Savannah Tucker's going to join us at 5. We're going to talk a few minutes with Trevor Horn. We've got to get the Garces side of the Holy Bowl. He's now the PR guy at Garces. We've got to find out. Amy Bo Peep is in the house.
Oh, Amy, about time.
She tried to sneak in. Amy Bo Peep tried to sneak in, but she can't hide from us.
I also want to talk to you a little bit about this contest about less than a mile down the street from here. Clovis West takes on Valley Christian. Clovis West hasn't beaten Valley Christian before, and that's kickoff is down here at Veterans Stadium.
Valley Christian, a very, very good team. Clovis West comes off a loss last week to Liberty. They want to get back on that horse. Let's take a break. We're live. 10 Tavern. Willow and Nice, come on over, and we got food galore. What do you recommend again before we go to break?
Oh, I'm going with the Italian sub.
The Italian sub. We'll take a break. It's the Nick and Nick on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern. With the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
you
are in the zone
on a Friday, beautiful Friday afternoon. It's almost fall time. We're getting a little cooler in the morning. If you're a Helena Agri Enterprises LLC fan, the mornings are nice for these trees.
Well, they're still trying to recover from some of those hard shaking devices that are coming in doing harvest. You know,
got abused, didn't they?
Got a little water now, a little fertilizer to kind of wake them back up. But you don't want to put them to sleep too early, Nick, because they have the growing season still, you know, 30 days, 40 days, 60 days out, in some cases longer, depending on what you're growing. So it's always important to come in and not do too much neglect there.
559-261-9030 is the Helena Agri Enterprises LLC number. 10 Tavern is going crazy already. Amy Bo Peep and Kelly's got it going on. We see some Valley Christian fans. They got their uniforms on in here, and they got the fans coming in from San Jose.
Well, they must have heard the show and the recommendation for 10 Tavern before you play, what, less than a mile down the road here.
Yeah.
Big game tonight.
No question. It's a big one. Clovis West and Valley Christian will score off at Buchanan High School down the road. Another big one tomorrow night. Holy Bowl. Garces from Bakersfield driving in will be taking on the Memorial Panthers. The Catholic schools will be scoring off. We just had J.D. Sales from Memorial. And let's go down to Bakersfield and talk with Trevor Horn from the Garces Rams. Trev, how are you today?
What is up, Nick and Nick? How are you guys?
Good, man. How you doing down there? How's your new role?
Hey, my new role is, it feels like I'm finally settling in, but it is as great as expected, so thanks.
Well, the good news is you got your quarterback back, because without him, I'm going to be honest with you, you're going 0-10. You got no chance to win a game. Now you got Joseph Campbell back. You got a chance to win every game. Big difference when you have, and I think, the top quarterback in the section playing for you.
You know, there's a lot of great things about Joseph. He's a leader for us on campus. You know, he's a three-year starter. And, you know, when you think about the Campbell family, there's so much institutional knowledge at Garces. You know, when it starts with his grandfather, father, who's also by the same name, you know, our new film room that we just opened up last month is dedicated to him. Our field house is dedicated to the Campbell family. They live in the neighborhood. Obviously, everybody remembers his older brother, Grant, who was a standout on the line and played 4 years for Baylor. So Joseph Campbell has grown up as a Garces Ram, and to be able to just say that we can get him back on the field means so much because of what he means to the school. So it is a great experience for the school, but for him as a young man, somebody that, you know, has been waiting for that start of a senior year for so long, and then to get something like Valley Fever diagnosed to him just a week into fall camp, and, you know, and everybody's worry is about him as an individual, as a human being and a young man, and then for him to be able to recover from it and wait the 6-week period that his doctors recommended for him, and then they analyzed him and they said, you know what, you're good to go. Go do some non-contact this week, and then, you know, once you're ready, we're going to reevaluate you. He's getting reevaluated today, and hopefully he plays tomorrow like we all anticipate. And then just to see that number 5 back on the field is such a great experience for us at Garces.
Great. Trevor, real quick, just kind of update everybody, even though I know you've done it before through social media and other means, but give us a quick overview of what your new role is and what you're doing at Garces yourself.
Right. So, you know, after being at the California and B Varsity for 5 years, 5 wonderful years to California, this opportunity at Garces came up, and Micah Peck, our principal, wonderful woman, she hired me as our sports information director. I also have a role as assistant athletic director to Gina LaCava, and everybody knows who Gino is after 10 section titles and a Hall of Fame career. You know, it's great to work for him, and then we also work together as I'm the assistant technology director, because Gino is also our technology director on campus. So, you know, we wear many hats at Garces, so, you know, I wear 3 different hats, but I enjoy all 3 of them collectively.
Talk with Trevor Horn from the Garces Rams. Well, no more Bakersfield, California rankings, and now I just get beat up all the time on the peg meter rankings, and boy, oh boy. At least I used to bounce them off Trevor. Now it's just the media is dwindling, but a great role by Trevor. Tell us about the Garces Rams now. I know you had a few injuries, and Bakersfield Christian and, of course, St. Joseph, they played CVC without their top running back, and I think they're maybe 2 or 3 best running backs in the section with Jalen Rennie. He didn't play. Joseph Campbell didn't play. and they got to go 2-0. Tell us about the Rams. Are you getting healthy now besides Campbell?
Yeah, Isaiah Bell, who filled in at quarterback week one against Vicksville Christian, suffered a concussion. I mean, it was a nasty third quarter where, Vince Finucchi, who was our longtime athletic director and still our historian on campus, he suffered a mild stroke back in August, and he thought he could get back on the field. And, he got a little dehydration and had to be taken away on an ambulance at halftime. And then right after that, there was a collision in the third quarter where both players had to be taken away on ambulances. So we had a 45-minute delay in that game, a game that ended almost 11:45 at night. Isaiah's gone through all the concussion protocols, and he's back to work this week. And, Isaiah was, along with Joseph, returning varsity starters last week against St. Joseph. We had one player. That's John Paul Lefevre, our starting center, the only returning starter on the varsity team from last year playing against St. Joseph 2 weeks ago. So when you think about that, my job is, get the information out about Garces and hype them up and get them ready for the season. But when you really think about it, there's a lot of talent on this football team, but it's still a very young and inexperienced team. And yes, Paul Gola walked in and brought all of his expertise onto campus, but there's only so much you can do with inexperienced players. So, the team took a couple lumps, but, and like what Coach Gola said to the Big Soul Californian today, there's not a lot of negativity going around campus right now because everybody kind of knows you're going to have to take your lumps. You're going to have to learn some things, but there are some great things going on. So when you look at it, our offensive line averages about 6'3", 280, and I'm not joking. That's literally how big they are. But once they learn their positions and really kind of understand how the varsity game goes, it's going to be fun to watch them go.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching them play tomorrow. It's kind of all hyped up here for that game. It should be a full house over at San Joaquin Memorial.
We'll be on the other side. We'll be on your side in the old press box as well. So I get to see the Ram crowd there, Trevor. So we're excited.
Yeah, bring them in. The Holy Bowl is a special thing. It's the 54th time these two have played, and that includes three playoff games, including the 2002 Valley Championship in the small school Sequoia division, where Garces had a 35-11 lead in the fourth quarter, only to see Memorial come back for Garces to win 49-32. So, there's been some great football games that all started in 1947 in the infield of the Bakersfield Speedway, which used to be called the Thunder Bowl back then. It all started in 1947. It's continued since then. They had a 10-year period in the 90s, or in the 80s, where they didn't play. And so since 1990, the tradition has continued. So, and the great thing about it, since 1996, all the other fall sports have kind of gotten into this. It starts off at 11 a.m. with Frostoff Volleyball. Varsity volleyball starts off at 1 o'clock, and you've got girls tennis over Fresno City. You've got girls golf playing in town as well. I mean, you got the football games at 5 and 7:30. So it's an all-day affair, and one of the coolest days for high school sports in the Central Valley to have the two schools in the Fresno Diocese going at it and understanding, that there are competitors during it, but they're all together in this same pattern that we're going through, as children of God.
Yeah, a couple things that I think about, Trevor, when you talk about the rivalry there and the years that's passed and, playing in different venues. You say tradition, culture, man. That's San Joaquin Valley football right there. That's the tradition we've built here, and it's fun to see these schools still going at it, still seeing the alumni helping out, whether it be financially or just attending games. And I don't think that'll ever die in the San Joaquin. That's why it's so special, I think, what we have. So many people come back to the Valley to live here and to watch these games as alumni. You can't say that for a lot of other areas in California.
Well, and I've looked at it from an outsider perspective for so many years as a reporter, but now looking at it from the inside, there are so many families that have so much rich tradition at Garces. Same thing they have at Memorial, where these same families go through and through. Shoot, I have an aunt and I have a bunch of second cousins that went through. The Pardinis, all cousins of mine, all very well, entrenched in the San Joaquin Memorial family. And that's the thing that I love about this, is that there is so much rich tradition, like you talk about, Nick. It's fantastic to see these two go at it because, we've seen West at the highest point here in Bakersfield, 15 years ago, and now that, they're struggling with enrollment. You've had North High, play really great football over the years. But, you see the transition of public schools in town, and that's great and fine. but, you know, you see more high schools getting built, and the alumni is not that old, and so you don't get the 70-year-old, you know, graduates coming into the stadium, but you get that with these two schools, and that's what, you know, there's a lot of pride for people from, you know, young to old that really gravitate to this game and tomorrow night, and that's the exciting part about it, is so many people are invested in the Holy Bowl year after year after year.
So, Trevor, one high school you didn't mention, but tradition, man, I'll tell you what. What about the old days with West High?
Man, you talk about it. That was always the hotbed of it because it's right in central Bakersfield, you know, during the 70s and 80s, before the city really expanded out to the west. You know, that's where all the families lived. That's, you know, you picked, you know, you cherry-picked off the bottom half of where Bakersfield High had their enrollment, and, you know, where their neighborhoods ended, West High started. So you had a lot of great coaches, a lot of great athletes go through West High, and it was great to see that. But, you know, those transitions happen, but the tradition always stays, and even though schools get high and low, there's always a tradition. That's why I love those older high schools. I went to an older high school in Sacramento at El Camino. You know, 50, you know, it was, I think we were 50 years in 22 years ago when I went to high school there. Now you're talking about 70 years. You've got, you know, if they're still around, you might have 90-year-old guys sitting in the stadium, and that's incredible to be able to see that kind of rich tradition
in
older high schools like this.
Well, Trevor, we'll be there tomorrow night. Best of luck. Tell the Rams good, safe travel to Memorial. It should be an exciting day. Memorial and Garces getting it on. Thanks, Trevor.
Yeah,
I'll see
you
tomorrow.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks a lot.
See you, Trevor.
Trevor Horn, the Holy Bowl tomorrow. Let's take a real quick break. Wake the kids, phone the neighbors. We got a star in the house.
We got a star in the house. Stay tuned.
Savannah Tucker on next. So you're going to not want to miss this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a beautiful Friday afternoon here in Willow and East, this is called the 10 Tavern. The place is jamming now. Amy Bo Peep is in the house. The bar is going nuts. Full bar. They got... On Sundays, you got to try the buffet, Nick. It's outstanding.
Well, you are a buffet guy.
I love buffets.
This is a step up, though, for you on what you've been to the last few days.
Yeah, we take two cars.
Yeah, I get it.
Because they go home, and I'm still eating.
You cry at night.
Yeah, I cry at night. But here at 10 Tavern, Willow and Nice, I want to thank Trevor Horn and, of course, J.D. Sales. But let's bring on now the senior from Clovis North Broncos, one of the best, I think the leader in the clubhouse for Pag Meter Player of the Year, Savannah Tucker. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I've always wanted to get you on the radio because I think you know all about Savannah's game. Dribble drive. She can shoot the three. You're a power player. You do it all. Clovis North and Heather Wahlberg, let's get it right. She's got a good one. Leader in the clubhouse. Like I said, tell me about, you're going to go to Long Beach Poly. I'm going to want to know about
State.
That. Long,
yeah,
sorry,
State.
Long Beach State. Tell me about the decision.
I don't know if you're transferring to Long Beach Poly.
we'll break the scoop right now.
Yeah, Heather, if you're listening, Heather, she's going to Long Beach Poly. I'm just kidding.
No, let's start with the decision to go to Long Beach State.
I mean, just this whole recruiting process has been crazy. It's been exciting. Coming down to choosing a school, there was a lot of options. Talking to the coaching staff, it just felt like home away from home. And I think that's just huge, me deciding to spend my next 4 years somewhere where not only I can get my education, but go play D1 basketball, which has always been a dream. So it's really exciting. The coaching staff is amazing. The players are amazing. The campus, and I'm really excited to get there.
Is it a relief for you? I mean, was this something that's been on your mind now since this time last year, let's say, for example?
It is a relief, honestly. Like, coming into my senior year is kind of just like, okay, like, it's getting real. College is around the corner. Like, I need to decide where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. And I'm just ready to sign in November, so.
We'll talk with Savannah Tucker, but Nick and Savannah, let me tell you what the other coaches are thinking. Just because she's verbally committing to Long Beach State, still go after her. That doesn't mean anything to them because they're still going to pursue you.
Right.
Isn't that how the game is, Nick?
No.
Really?
Not very. I mean,
I see it all the time.
I'm not saying that that's not the case, and everything changes, but I think most schools, once you commit someplace, and Savannah, I'm sure, has made those phone calls, which are phone calls that aren't easy.
Yeah.
When you call those other schools that you have offers from or the interest, or you just tell them, hey, listen,
they're not giving up.
I'm just going off my experience from my kids, and when they committed, there wasn't any communication. Now, whether or not they weren't watching and just kind of being around, maybe things have changed a little bit, but I'm assuming that you're committed, 100% committed.
Definitely.
You've spent your time, and I think that's important. And I'll ask Savannah that question because we have so many kids that commit places and they end up, you know, I'm not saying there's all sorts of things that factor into this, but you want to really spend your time. And Savannah, I wish you would share with us how much time you actually spent with Long Beach in terms of how many times you visited the campus, because just one official visit's not going to necessarily take care of all your needs in terms of, okay, I want to show up there when school's in session. I want to show up when the coaches don't even know I'm here. I just want to walk around, see the environment. I'm not saying you did all these things, but that school being as close as it is, it gives you the opportunity to spend as much time there as possible. So kind of walk us through what went through your mind when you made that final decision. Really, I know the coaching staff, things like that, but in terms of the school itself, Nick always asks this question. If you weren't playing basketball, could you see yourself going to school at Long Beach State?
I definitely could, honestly. They've been around since, recruiting me since around my sophomore, freshman year, which I've had a lot of schools been doing that, but I think them kind of really pushing for it towards the end and knowing that this month right here is when most girls decide where they're going to go. And they let it be known, and I think that going and seeing the campus when I went this past Monday, it's just where I wanted to be, and I'm really excited. And not only aside from basketball, but the campus is great. The people, the energy, it's just different there. And just the location is great, having family close nearby. And if I need to see a familiar face, my parents are always down to drive. So
that's important. And you get to play in the pyramid.
Definitely. I'm so excited. I didn't know it was the actual pyramid, but when I went there.
Savannah Tucker in the house. Now, let me ask you the tough question. You love the coaching staff. What if they decided, Savannah, we're going to take over and coach at Arizona State? Would you still stay at Long Beach, or are you going there before the school or the coaching staff?
Honestly, I think I would, if I had the opportunity to follow the coaching staff, that's something I would do. Those are the coaches. I went there, and they don't want to change me. They want to keep me for who I am and stay true to myself, which is huge for me. Some places you go to college and they want you to focus on just one thing, just either if it's just doing this or doing that, but they want me to go there and they want me to be me and do what I've been doing my high school career. So I mean, that coaching staff has really been there. So
you recruited pretty hard, I'm sure, and we won't get into all of those schools, just no reason for that right now.
Right.
But let's talk about that process. I mean, you know, Long Beach State, were they contacting you a lot, showing major interest and, hey, we really want you? And because I think, you know, we talk about the fit. There's that certain fit out there. And going through that process, there's some schools that kind of scratch at you a little bit, kind of keep you close, but not necessarily really being on top of you and really sending you text messages. And with today's, you know, communication that's out there, social media or texting, however, they can pretty much hit you at certain times very often. Did they recruit you harder than the rest?
At the beginning, no, which was understandable. I had some close schools, some far schools that, you know, across the country. But, I mean, I would get a text every here and there. It was quiet for a minute during my summer with Long Beach. But as they came to some games and after I was done playing in Atlanta for Lady Heat this past summer, they reached out again. And I think that's was really important to me because a lot of schools reach out in the beginning and then they kind of fall off, which happens, and you know, but it all got me ready for making that decision and all these steps got to here I am today. So
good.
Talking with Savannah Tucker from the Clovis North Broncos, one of the top, I'd say the top two teams in the section going in with Clovis West, of course, a big rivalry. Tell us about, let's go back to high school. Tell us about the rivalry with Clovis West.
Two very talented teams down the street from each other. I just think it's crazy, two teams being that high ranked in the nation and state. just being so close to each other. Like, you know, two public schools, and I think being a part of this has been crazy. Like, being a part of the team, one of the captains, and a big piece of the team. But, I mean, I'm excited to get back to work this season with my team and go into a league with a different mentality and be ready to go and be ready for those games.
Talk with Savannah Tucker from the Clovis North Broncos. And, Nick, you're coming on the other side, and Jill is in the house as well. Clovis West, Clovis North. You went over the hump this year. You beat them. You lost in the championship, but you beat them, and it's got to help just to break the ice.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you got that first win. You're going into this year, I'm sure, in your mind right now, even though we're football season, yeah. You're probably going to the football game tonight. You guys playing tonight?
Yeah.
Edison at Ratcliffe.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. But you're probably eager to get started with basketball, even though you're practicing or whatever, you know, open gyms, things like that, getting started. Coming off a major summer for you, which is probably your last summer playing AAU basketball, which is probably a bittersweet type of thing for you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going in next year, it's going to be fun because it's going to be a lot of hype for that basketball game because Clovis North's got a lot of people back from last year, right?
Yeah, they do. They lost some of their seniors, some three huge parts. So, I mean, that's kind of a plus for us, but we lost two huge parts too. So, I guess we're kind of even right now. But
that's going to be fun for you. Your senior year, all I tell you is this, enjoy your time. I mean, you committed. That's so special. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
But I will tell you this. Make sure you have fun your senior season because it's probably going to be the thing you'll remember the most.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Savannah, so tell us about the Long Beach State players. How do they treat you? What kind of teammates are you going to have at the next level?
I'm going to have really supportive teammates. I've been to some schools where I get introduced to the team. They'll shake my hand. They won't make eye contact with me. They're
jealous of you.
They kind of see that competition right away, yeah. Which I understand. Like, you know, new girl coming in. Like, but at Long Beach, each girl shook my hand, made eye contact with me, my brother, and my family. And I think that's something I took. Like, that's huge. That's huge. Just that simple eye contact. And I scrimmaged with them. And They wanted to see me do good, which is huge. And they set up plays for me. They're a very good talking team, and they run somewhat what we run at North, so that's huge for me too, just being able to fit right in. And they were supportive. They were cheering me on the whole time, and it was just a great feeling. It's great.
So how much of a role did your family have in that decision? So many people talk about it. I talk to different kids, and what was the process? Most of it probably fell on you, because it should. Where do you want to be? But you mentioned family, you having family down in Southern California, which isn't too far, obviously, from where you're going. So that probably makes – that's a huge difference. But how much time did you spend sitting down, going through the pros and cons of these schools together as a family?
I mean, with my family, it's all basketball talk wherever we are. It's always
– Sounds familiar.
A game on our phone watching film. It's anything. And – my family's huge to me, and my sister, my dad, my brother, my mom, we would sit down, and when a new school started recruiting me, we sat down, we would look at the roster, we would look at the school, the coaching staff, what their background was and everything, and yeah, majority of it was my decision, but they also, like, I wouldn't go somewhere where they don't want me to go, and their decision's just huge for me.
So when did you start talking about it, seriously saying, okay, we got to make a decision now? When did you start kind of – was this past summer after AAU was over? Did you kind of sit down and actually have those – because those aren't easy conversations.
Definitely not.
Because sometimes your dad or your mom or another family member's thinking this, and they're kind of doing this, and I'm just speaking from experience, right? So
no,
I'm
definitely not
saying this is exactly what happened, but those aren't easy discussions. It's just not. So how'd that go about? Was it just after AAU or
– it was just after AAU. I probably had one of my best summer seasons ever. I mean, it kind of felt like everything just came together. It was my last one. It was sad, but I mean, I'm on to the next phase now, and I'm really excited. But I think after AAU, after that last tournament, we all kind of sat down. My sister was home, just coming back. She just left to – she's got an internship at Stanford with the women's basketball team, so that's exciting too. But we all sat down, and – while we can be together, while we can, and we just decided, like, I think it's time to start figuring out and try to put the puzzle pieces together and everything. And Did, chose Long Beach, so.
We're talking to Savannah Tucker. Did any former players or anybody in college help you out with some of the decision, what you might be looking for? And if that two-part question, what would you recommend to some of the other, like the little ponies coming up in the Bronco, or maybe have a chance to play at the next level? What would you recommend for them going through this process?
Going through this process, I've had a lot of girls at the next level give me just little tips and everything, which when I go on campus is I look out for those. I look at when the girl shakes my hand, how the teammates treat me, how the coaches are, what they say, and if they're true to themselves. And for the younger ones, I mean, live in the moment. I mean, it goes by fast. It was not that long ago. I was playing my first freshman game. I was nervous. And, I mean, here I am going into my senior year, committed to a school in the Big West Conference, about to be going playing there. So, I mean, just live in the moment. And those extra shots when no one else is getting them up is very important. They make big differences in big tie games.
Savannah, so the big question is, we see a lot of football players, once they sign, they kind of take the senior year off. You know, I've already got that scholarship coming. I don't want to play hard. I'm sure Heather's worried about, oh, boy, we can't have her Hollywood us. Are you going to play harder now?
Definitely. I mean, I see that a lot, too. I was just talking to my parents about that. I'm just like, I don't get why they do that. Like, they still got a whole year. Like, coaches, like, they can pull that.
Thank you.
They can pull that so easily.
Yes.
And I think that's something that really shows who you are. Like, okay, you signed somewhere. That's great. You had a great accomplishment. Now it's on to the next thing. Are you going to get back in the gym? I mean, I came home after committing on Monday, and I was in the gym the next day. I mean, that's just something I don't think a lot of players take pride in, and I think that shows a lot who you are. And I still got a season with these girls and with Coach Long and the coaching staff, and I want to get things done. So
you got to, and you're going to earn your spot. Now is time you start earning your spot for next
Definitely.
Year.
Definitely.
But you've also got some goals for this year that you want.
Yes.
I'm sure yeah. I think I have an idea what those goals are. I'm sure you're looking for a section championship.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, those kind of things I think are going to keep Savannah's mind moving forward.
Should we just go to Selden Arena now? Because we know it's going to be Clovis North and Clovis West, right? Is that too early?
A little early.
Yeah, Savannah, it was awesome having you on the show because you did a great job. This is a part of it. You're going to be interviewed a lot at the next level.
Definitely.
And I think she's going to do great because you know what?
She's
old school.
She's a professional right now.
Shake hands, and I try to teach people. Shake hands and look people in the eye with a firm. And you can tell a lot by somebody like that.
Communication.
Definitely.
Savannah, keep up the great work. I can't wait to watch you this year.
Thank you.
Savannah Tucker, Clovis North Broncos, heading to Long Beach State. And they're a good one. We'll take a break. This is the Zone Show with Nick and Nick, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
On a Friday afternoon here at 10 Tavern. Oh, it's great to talk with Savannah Tucker. I'm telling you right now, she's going to have a huge year because you're right. The pressure's off. She's going to have to get those phone calls coming in. Long Beach State, she's going to have a great year.
Well, she's had three great years.
All but time, even better
all-time
now.
All-time scoring leader,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, you're bad.
I'm behind.
Yeah.
But I will throw that out there. Right now, she holds that record going into her fourth year. She's got the whole year to go.
That record's never going to be broken.
Oh, it's going to be tough, I'll tell you. But I tell you, if it is broken, Savannah, the kind of person Savannah is, she'll be there that night shaking that person's hand saying congratulations.
It's going to be a long time. She could be a grandma by the time that happens.
So for all of you guys, people out there playing sports, we're very impressed by Savannah because she said a couple things. Looking people straight in the eyes, shaking people's hands. That's what you do. Life after basketball, after sports, that's what's going to get you to the next level beyond that.
I just make sure the coaches stay for her 4 years because we see so many coaches turn over. They're going to go, you know, we decide we're going to UCLA or something, and then you're stuck with these new – who did we just have on? Remember we had from drawing a blank, someone came in, they got recruited because the coaches, they left, and it wasn't the same. The new coaching staff changes everything. So let's hope that didn't happen.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. I can't remember what who that was. We'll think about
it. Yeah, I'll get it
Have
going.
Another Pepsi. I'm sure you'll be fine.
No kidding. 10 Tavern, of course, They got the buffets on Sunday. The table, if you want to rent it out, make sure you call Amy Bo Peep, because that place is going to be – it's already sold out almost November, December. Call, maybe get a room, a time.
So throw me some information, Mr. Meter, about the high school games tonight. What do you got going on? Tell me a little bit about your favorites and some of the ones that should be attending.
I want to talk, first of all, the Bullard Knights taking on Pittman tonight in the first home game in – school history. Even when Jill went there, they've never played a home game.
What about you?
Even when I went there, they never had a home game.
Because I'll tell you what, when I said that, that's a long time ago, and I mean heavy on the long.
Bullard started in 1956.
Wow.
How in the world did they not put a stadium in back in the day?
There must have been that concept. You go anywhere else, and I know football's been big, but you look back, even we talked earlier with Trevor Horn down in Bakersfield at Garces. I mean, you know, Bakersfield plays at home, right? They have a home stadium.
Bakersfield Drillers, Garces, they all do.
Garces, West High.
West High, they all have their home field.
So when school started to expand out here, and even before Clovis Unified had a plan. They were going to build a couple of stadiums, right? Initially, Clovis High had a stadium. Then they kind of expanded from that. The next school was West. West didn't have it. They didn't
put it in. I don't understand what Doc Buchanan was thinking back in the day. Why wouldn't he? I know he did a Buchanan. And La Monica has been around since forever. I don't understand why there's soccer, there's everything going on at that school. Why wouldn't they put a stadium in?
I don't know the answer. It'd be curious to know if we could talk to somebody that could steer us in the right direction. But you're right. I mean, you look at even Clovis West, Clovis North, if you're talking strictly the track there. Central's got a wonderful stadium out there, of course, but they're out there in their own area there. But, you know, there's something about playing. You know, we should have asked Savannah this question. You know, you go to Buchanan. Buchanan loves to say, this is our house. You're playing on our field. I don't care if you put your banners, and you're not practicing on that field. I don't know about you, but in high school, we practice on the field that we played on. And there's something about that. It's like practicing in the gym that you play in. It's home court advantage.
You know the rim.
And I know football's a little bit different, but still, I would think there'd be, you know, I'd feel kind of weird. You know, you're getting dressed. You got to bring all your stuff over to Buchanan as a spectator. You're still not quite, this isn't our house kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I went to Bullard back in many, many moons ago. We played either McLean or Ratcliffe. Those are our days. But we had to either play on Thursday night or Friday night because there's not enough stadium. There's 3.5 stadiums around here for 7 teams. It just makes no sense why you're going to build a multi-million-dollar school and not finish with the stadium. I'll never understand this thinking. Now, for Bullard, they got to get it done. I don't care what you got to do for us to unify, but they need a stadium that side of town. It's got to be done. You got the beautiful stadium lights. Figure it out. Make it happen, because it's ridiculous the Bullard didn't have a stadium.
Is that anything to do with – wasn't there some kind of controversy about the pool or something at Bullard with lights?
They fixed it. They got a whole new pool system. It's all done.
I know, but wasn't there some neighborhood people that were opposed to having the lights on at night, and, you know, it would encourage more people, traffic, to have these venues? Right now, the only thing playing at night at Bullard is basketball, correct?
And they got plenty of parking.
Anything inside.
They got plenty of parking on the Barstow side. The neighbors, as my dad said growing up, we can invite you over to the house. You can enjoy yourself. We'll have a party. I'll make you food. Same thing. You come over in the football game, we'll enjoy it, or move. There's A or B. Just either move or come over and enjoy us. I don't worry about the neighbors. Bullard needs a stadium. Clovis West has a beautiful stadium. Fix that up. Clovis North, Clovis East. They all have beautiful stadiums out there. They just need to fix them and change it. Spruce it up a little more.
Right now, I believe the fields at North and West, they use for freshman football, if
and
I'm not
Saturdays.
Mistaken. So they do have venues there. I think it comes down to concessions and bathrooms and things like that, which I know you can bring those type of things in nowadays. But I don't know. There must be something about having a centralized location that when they came up with that idea, they decided to go that route. You know, it's kind of like the swimming. I mean, well, swimming, everybody's got a swimming pool, right?
Exactly.
But maybe
and a gym.
But Clovis West might have a little bit higher advanced, you know, center because of they do other things, and each school's got a certain thing they specialize in. But that's a great question. I don't know the answer on why they came up with that idea.
It just makes no sense. It would be like if Vance Wahlberg had to take his basketball team to Buchanan for every home game. Get in the bus, go across town, It's just silly.
It's not that feel to it.
Bullard, and I just feel like Bullard's out by itself. They need to get it done and figure it out. Fresno Unified, make it happen. Tonight's our first home game ever, and it's going to be 3,000 to 4,000 people out there. It's going to be nice.
I'm assuming you're going to go to that game.
I'm going to be all over the place because we're doing the Holy Bowl tomorrow night. Another big one I'm interested in, Salinas. First time in the history they're coming to play here in the Valley, take it on Clovis Cougars. That's going to be a big one. The Cowboys are taking on the Cougars tonight at La Monica.
Tonight.
They never played here before.
When I grew up, moons ago, Salinas was a very – it's like a Clovis High, right? So it's interesting that they're playing Clovis High because Salinas has been – gosh, it's got to be as old as Clovis High. That's cool.
They've
there.
Been in 100 years.
Yeah.
And they never played in the Valley.
That's crazy.
Figure that one.
And Salinas is one of those schools that would beat you up pretty good. They always had a pretty good attack. You had a lot of those farm kids out of there. Hollister was also another school that always had pretty good teams out of that area over there. So that's good. I'm glad these schools are reaching out, and I'm glad they're playing. And it's good these schools to start playing other people besides, Clovis West, like tonight playing Valley Christian and, getting outside the box a little bit. I think that's good. I play this like in basketball. You go to these basketball tournaments, and everybody's playing each other 15 times. I'm going to go play in this tournament and play Clovis North. I'm going to go play, Fresno High, go play Bullard. It's the same teams over and over again. Everybody knows what's going on. That's why when they start playing league, it's like all of a sudden these schools just kind of stop because everybody knows everybody. They know what they're running. And so it makes things a little, pretty interesting.
Yeah, Rich Hammond at Clovis, they're playing Salinas. They also play Modesto in the first game of the year. They played Liberty Bakersfield. He's in Bullard. He's going all over the place to play different teams, to play different offenses. So you're prepared for the track. Bullard might spread it out. The quarterback tonight for Salinas, Richardson, is a D1 quarterback. He hums the ball. They come off a win over North Salinas. Would that be more of a, what do you consider that? Is it like a Division III team, North Salinas?
I know schools were always good. You got North Monterey County High School, the Condors. You got North Salinas, which is the Vikings.
Well, I don't know who they are, but they beat them 71-7.
I'm just giving a little bit of education.
Well, I'm just saying North Salinas may be down a little bit or a smaller school.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
You can't go by that win. But I think it's going to be interesting with Salinas coming over here. The weather, it's a little warmer.
True. Well, it's been warm over there. Salinas is warmer.
Okay, that's true.
But it cools. You're right. It should be an advantage. It should be an advantage. What school was it people were calling? They were saying getting cramping up during a game, and we thought it was going to be. Did Buchanan play somebody? The first game they played against, it was on the ESPN game.
Narbonne.
Yeah, they came over. It was hot.
Yeah, it was real hot that night.
And they were fine.
So who do you blame that on? Great question. When they cramp up, is that they're not doing their work? During the daytime. Is that the kids' fault, or should the coaches be on the kids, start eating more bananas and all the other things they need to do?
I just don't think high school sports are able to keep up with the training. I mean, you go to college and they're watching these kids. They're getting them during timeouts, and they're forcing them to the players, the guys that are on the field. They're forcing them to drink and do these things to prepare. Because I try to get my own kid to drink water. A guy doesn't drink any water the entire game. I'm like, well, you got to start drinking water. Your performance has got to be affected, right?
I've watched many football games this year. I think I've seen one cramp. So the football high coaches are doing a great job.
How about stretching? Do we do a good job stretching? I don't know.
That's what I never understood. You don't see a dog stretch. Why does humans have to stretch? You could throw a dog a little. You met Teddy. Teddy came over.
Teddy's 3.5 pounds.
But you don't. I could throw the ball to Teddy, and she's full sprint right from the get-go out of a deep sleep. Okay, why do I always wonder that. We got Mr. Exeter in.
Yeah, we got Mr. Exeter in the house. That's 2 weeks in a row. Wow. David Vieira out of Helena is in the house. And so David's just trying to promote himself. He's doing a pretty good job, too. Yeah.
I thought he was a model. I didn't know.
Tell him that. Do not tell David Vieira that he's a model.
Maybe we're doing something here at 10 Tavern going on. Savannah looks like a model. I thought maybe we got going. But this place is jamming right now.
Well, David's in the house to watch his son here, I think his girlfriend's son, play for Clovis West just down the street. And that's exactly what we've talked about, is people coming into 10 Tavern and enjoying dinner and having a drink or two before this great game down the street, which is only half a mile down here. But it's also a very close to so many other venues that aren't too far away.
Yeah, you got Clovis coming in, who lost last week to Bullard 19-7, so they got to get back on the horse with their offense. Last week, Clovis West lost to Liberty 17-7, but was really 17-0. Liberty fumbled at the one-yard line. Clovis West scored. They got to get the offensive rushing attack going for Clovis West. They're playing a very good team tonight in Valley Christian and San Jose, and they're just a powerhouse.
Clovis West, a better defensive team or offensive team in your mind?
A defensive team. They just can't throw the football. They got their offense, their passing attack is.
So the scouting report on them is just key on the running backs and
stuff the box.
Quarterback much of a runner himself?
Not really, but they've got to figure out. It's just like Buchanan. Buchanan has a very little passing game. There's some teams eventually they're going to see film. They're going to start. They're going to force you to throw the ball. And so I watched last night Buchanan again. Kendall Milton's. We talked about a little bit on the Rise show today. Is he going to play this year? That's the over and under. He was going to not play after the fourth game. He went one. So I don't know if you took the under, you might be winning right now. That's a perfect example. We talked to Zaman about. He's got his Georgia scholarship. Is he going to shut it down? We don't know. I know he's hurt, but I sure like to see him get on the field and mentally let him know that he's ready for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's such a tough, mentally, I think it's really tough, Nick, to, like you mentioned, football's a totally different sport, you know? I mean, there's so many things that go on out there on the field, and you just got to play the game, right? It's easier for me to say that, but when you're out there and you got such a big deal that he has, which is phenomenal to have a scholarship to Georgia, I'm sure that's in the back of his mind. I want to be ready to go when his timing's right. And maybe high school doesn't mean that much. We've seen that before in the past, but I don't know if Kendall's that kind of a guy. I think he'd go if he could.
I don't know if it's his handlers as well saying, hey, you just shut it down. And maybe he wants to play. You know, people are feeding him stuff all the time. I don't know. I think the Valley would love to see him get back in there.
Why don't you get him on the radio?
We've tried, and he's always been busy.
Ah.
Three strikes and you're out.
Okay.
You know how that goes. I'd love to get him on, but I'll try one more time. They've got De La Salle coming up in a big game. But you know what?
A
new kid.
Where's that game being played?
At De La Salle. But they got a kid last night who went off. Cade Euling. He took a 75-yard screen pass.
Cade who?
Euling. And then he took a run right up the middle for a 73-yard touchdown. I think they're fine at running back. This kid... He was a key last night beating Liberty because they needed a spark. They were down at halftime. Third play of the third quarter, gone.
Well, maybe that's going to be the new, you know, like JT McDaniels down at USC who got hurt. USC didn't skip a beat last weekend without him on the field. They beat Fresno State without him, and then they came in last weekend and beat Stanford. So you never know. When that opportunity is given to you, you go out there and you do it, you know?
Yeah, and I know Buchanan Nation let me know, hey, Pagmeter, he's been a star since the little guys. Okay. I'm just letting you know, without Kendall Milton, they needed a spark, and they got it.
He's a pretty special kid.
Yeah, he's good, and Buchanan's got a tremendous defense. So that could be a playoff preview of Liberty against Buchanan in the playoffs. Again, we got great football going on all over the place. And another one, 0-3 Edison Tigers taking on the 3-0 Clovis North Broncos. Big one tonight at Ratcliffe. And like Matt said today, you know, he coached at Edison. When Edison Nation is down, that's why you're going to see Central and Washington Union going to be good in the future because kids just leave. So Atnoff Harris has got to figure out how to keep the troops home.
Yeah, Washington Union is a name in the past that used to be a perennial nightmare, you know, in terms of talent. You think that's an opportunity. So it's amazing these guys are moving around. It's those three schools you mentioned there, right?
Yeah.
Essentially there was two. There was Edison and Central, right?
Now you got Memorial in the mix.
Now you got Memorial in the mix. So. Yeah, you got some, and again, I've said this a million times so far, and I'll continue to. I have no problem with transfers, no problem at all. If you can't find, you know, let's just face it. I mean, look at college. I mean, Jalen Hurts, for example, at Alabama. Look what he's doing at Oklahoma. What if he were to stay at Alabama? Why? You play college football one time, get an opportunity to play. You have an opportunity to play at the next level, especially if you're him. Why would you stay at Alabama?
Well, that's what Jake Haner said, who left Washington University.
Sure.
He's now a Bulldog. Looks like he's going to sit out this year. He didn't get the starting job at Washington. He said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go home. His dad played at Bullard High School. I coached his dad back in the day. He was a quarterback. So they're back home in Fresno. He'll sit out a year. He'll learn the offense. He'll learn the receivers. And I think he's the perfect guy that Jeff Tedford will like. He's a smart guy like Marcus Marion. I think Jeff Tedford likes that kind of quarterback to run the show.
He's quarterback. He knows what he wants because he is a quarterback.
So what is your feeling? Let's talk a little bit before we get out of here, Fresno State. They go 0-2, and a lot of the community, and I'll say it again. I think we have 15,000 solid fans in this town where they'll go home and away. They're there every game. Then we got the rest to fill up the 35,000 people at Bulldog Stadium where they just want to go have fun. Their kid played soccer on Saturday morning. Honey, I got Mabel and Gary have a tailgate. Let's go. And they want to have fun. They want to people watch. They want to get out of the house. And they don't care if Fresno State wins or not. Those are those fans. I think we get more entertainment out there, and I think you'll get more fans, and I don't think they care who they play. Sacramento State, I'm hoping there's a big crowd.
Well, Sacramento State, I mean, that's kind of a commuter school up there, you know, so I'm not sure what they're going to travel with. I'm going to say they're probably not going to bring a lot of fans. I don't run into a lot of Sacramento State alumni down here in the Valley, so they're probably scattered. I mean, you talk to people all the time about colleges, and around this area here, you've got certain ones that pop up more than others. So it'll be curious. I'd be curious to see if they travel. I'm going to say no. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say no. But I don't know. I mean, the question is I have for you is, you know, Gary and Sally go to the game, right? They go to the tailgate party because they want to go check out Nick's tailgate party. He's got cornhole out there and he's barbecuing hot dogs or whatever he's doing. Do they go into the game or they just stay out in the parking lot?
I would say 80% they go in the game, but they might leave early. I watched a lot of people. Lori and I went to the game. We watched these people going up the stairs and down the stairs. You almost have to be like Savannah Tucker in shape to go up and down the stairs. And you go two or three times, and I guarantee Sally and Gary go, I can't do it today. I'm not going down the row 22. Let's go. And this is why you see the red seats in the fourth quarter vacant, because some of these people just can't do it again. You got to be an Olympic athlete to go up and down those stairs.
But not having the beer up there probably helps because you don't have to do it multiple times. Before, you'd go have to get a beer. You got to walk up there, come all the way back down.
Go potty.
That's why you remember those days where a lot of people, and I remember this, and you probably remember this too, but when they were serving the beer up on top by the red seats there, everybody would just stay up on top and drink beer.
Party.
And they rarely watch the game. Yeah. So what's different today that it was back
then?
Well,
at least they're inside paying.
I don't know, man. I remember going to games, and there was people out in the parking lot, and they never went to the games. And then if they did, they hung out up on top. And occasionally, you know, they'd go down, and or maybe they'd start the game down below. But Fresno's notorious for showing up late anyway, right? Like a lot of schools. But the tailgate's a big deal for Fresno. I think that's why what makes Fresno so special. You go to a lot of schools, they don't have that surrounding area around Bulldog Stadium that you can tailgate. I know we've lost a little bit of it because of the lacrosse field, I think, right there.
But there were still kids were playing football
sure.
all the way through.
It's awesome. And I've been to so many schools. The other one that does a great job is Stanford because they have so much space, right? So they just pack it in there. It's the tailgate. If you have good tailgate facilities, I really think that encourages fans to go, regardless if they show up or not. They're going to be there, and I think that's a big deal. If they buy tickets, we want them to buy tickets, Nick. That's the main thing.
Well, we'll have game day live passes next week on our shows. I will be at First String Sports tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for my wrap-up show. Follow the Pack Meter tonight. I'll have the updated scores all throughout the section. I want to thank JoJo back in the studio, Savannah Tucker. I want to thank J.D. Sales and Trevor Horn today as our guest. Have a great weekend, and we will see you. I'll be at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning and tomorrow night.
I might show up.
Tomorrow night, the Holy Bowl. I wish you would because you can help me do that. You're not going to show up. Come on. Jill's got you mowing the lawn. Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. And what does Matt say?
Get in the game.